Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Welcome to the Feast of Pentecost. I keep on saying the Holy Spirit Fire Conference, but it's definitely the Feast of Pentecost. Amen. So we're excited, and over the next few days, don't forget we also have church tomorrow morning. And you know, the one you miss will be the one that was the best. So make sure you don't miss any of them. This has been a very interesting season that we've been in. And last night, I had one of the most evil dreams I have ever had. And I just tell you, I don't want to tell you everything that I saw in the dream. But the Lord took me, I really believe this was... It was just a really shocking dream, but I was in a room with people and I saw an evil that I have never seen before. And it was like the whole day the Lord's been speaking to me about this dream. You know how it is, often you have a dream and it's not a nice dream and then you forget about it? I haven't forgotten anything. Like, I remember every detail of this dream. It's actually unbelievable. And it's like the Lord is showing me what's going on the earth right now. There is an evil on this earth right now that is really dark. And the enemy is raging with all of his might that he has to try and destroy mankind, to try and make us as sick and perverted as he can possibly make us, because we are created in the image of God. And he wants to mess up that image. He wants to mess up and distort and pervert what God has created to be beautiful. Did you know that you were created to be beautiful? You are created to be a holy people. You are created to be a set apart people. And I saw in the dream just how evil this group of people was. And I was trying to get away from them and, you know, got through them and then kind of went around them that they were actually singing. And then when I got around them, there was something really bad happening, and there was someone that came towards me, and the fury and the anger of this individual was something like I have never seen before. And I really just feel an urgency in my spirit, you know, to tell you as the church, you and me and all of us, the body of Christ, this is not a time to be a carnal Christian. This is not a time to act in the flesh. And you are supposed to be different to the world. But if you look like the world, you talk like the world, you probably still are just like the world. If not, anyway. And so I really believe that God, during this feast of Pentecost, wants us to come to him and truly surrender ourselves to him. And I'm going to show you this evening. You know, there's so much to talk about. The only thing I want to start by setting kind of a foundation, and I'll actually talk more about some foundational stuff tomorrow, but I have a very direct mission tonight with one point, really, only one point, which I'm going to be making, and I'll be going into the history of Pentecost for that point. But you need to understand that Pentecost is a feast of the Lord. In other words, it is a set time. It is an appointed time of God. How many of you know that in your calendar, your annual calendar, you have different things that you celebrate every year? These things have primarily been set up by man. For example, Independence Day. For example, Memorial Day. For example, we celebrate Easter. We celebrate Christmas. And there are many other days that have been set apart on the calendar that we celebrate certain things. These are set times. Well, the feasts in the Bible that God himself says, these are my feasts. They are his feasts. And the word again, feast, means set time. So there's no difference. This is a set time that God has set up where we remember what he has done. And the good thing about God is when he reminds us of what he has done, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what he did before, he'll do again. So you need to know that what he's done before and what we see as a shadow in the past can sometimes be so much more powerful right now. Now we're going to start this evening by talking very, very briefly about Passover. Because in order for you to understand Pentecost, you must understand Passover. Now, I'm not going to get into all the detail, but most of you understand where the first Passover comes from. The first Passover took place while the children of Israel were in Egypt, and the 10 plagues came upon Egypt so that the children of Israel would be delivered out of bondage, to be delivered out of slavery. And so the last plague was where the angel of death would come down and kill all the firstborn. But the Lord said that if you take the blood of a lamb without blemish, without spot or wrinkle, you take that lamb and you put it on the doorpost and on the lintels on the sides of the post, that angel will pass over you. That's why it's called Passover. It literally passes over you. So you do not die, it passes over. And so the first Passover was when the children of Israel were passed over by the angel of death, and then they were delivered out of that, right? They were delivered out of Egypt, and they went into the wilderness. How many of you know that we have the Passover Lamb of Passover Lambs? We have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus the Christ, who takes away the sins of the world, who took you out of slavery, who took you out of bondage. So what I need to tell you is that if you are still in slavery, if you are still in bondage, if you are still bound, you have not fully grasped what is available to you. Why do you choose to stay there? You know, the Bible says that grace, the grace of God has appeared to all men. In other words, we have all received it when we got saved. But grace is constantly teaching us to deny ungodly living and worldly lust. It teaches us to overcome. In other words, every time you're dealing with stuff in your life, there is grace coming to you to empower you to overcome. But you'll never receive that grace if you don't understand the sacrifice that took place on the cross for your sins. Only when you recognize that your sins have been taken away, that His grace is sufficient for you, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more, only then will you be able to truly walk in the light. So Passover was extremely important, and every year we celebrate Passover. In the Hebrew calendar, they celebrate it as it originally was, but if you're a Christian, whether you're Jewish or Gentile, if you're a Christian, we celebrate Passover as Jesus, as our Passover Lamb. We don't have to do what they do anymore. We don't have to do the rituals, the customs anymore, because Jesus has been the ultimate sacrifice. What happened when the children of Israel left Egypt is they went into the wilderness. And the first thing we see when they left the wilderness is they go through the Red Sea, which is a symbol of your baptism. You see, just like the children of Israel went through the Red Sea, so you will be baptized into Christ. And then we go into the wilderness. We go into a time of figuring out who we are. We go into a time of finding ourselves, finding our destinies, where we finally get to the place where we get to our promise. And everyone thinks when you get to the promise, it's going to be great. When you get to the promise, that's when you face the giants. Welcome to the promise. But in the wilderness, right in the beginning, God was faithful. God gave them bread from heaven. God gave them water out of a rock that was struck by Moses. And the Bible even says that that rock followed them wherever they went. This was a supernatural sign of the provision of God. And God was revealing Himself to the children of Israel in the most incredible, powerful way. And then what happened is, they arrived at Mount Sinai. And at Mount Sinai, we're going to see the first Pentecost. And what took place on the first Pentecost. So let's go to Exodus 19, verse number 1. Are you all okay this evening in Vero Beach? Amen. Exodus 19, verse number 1. Now you'll see it says, in the third month, 3 months, 50 days, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God. And the Lord called him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, I will indeed, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandment, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the people of the earth are mine. I want you to see that God is saying, listen, I'm going to take you, children of Israel, and I'm going to cause you to be a special people, a set apart people. All the people of the earth, they belong to me, but you, I will make my treasure. You, I will set apart. I will sanctify. I will make you a holy people. This is what God is saying. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So the children of Israel said, listen, we will do what God has spoken. We're excited. We've seen the faithfulness of God. He has delivered us. He's delivered us out of bondage. He's delivered us out of Egypt slavery. We've been set free. We're on our way to the promise. Whatever the Lord says, we're going to do it. How many of you in this place can agree with the children of Israel? Come on, I better see a few more hands than that. Come on, everybody say, that's me. And the Lord said to Moses, verse 9. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I came to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. So Moses goes back up to the Lord. The Lord speaks to Moses and says to him, I want you to go down, Moses, and I want you to prepare the people, because you're going to bring them up to me. We're going to have communion. We're going to have fellowship, the people and me. This is a very sacred, special moment in the Old Testament scriptures. I would be so bold as to say this is one of the most special moments for the children of Israel. So Moses goes down and he begins to do ritual cleansing, and he begins to prepare the people for the encounter that they're about to have with God. They're getting prepared. They're getting taught. They're getting washed. And you know, we don't know exactly what the ritual washing was, but we know that the priests would have to have blood on their ears, blood on their finger, blood on their toe, and they would have to wash their hands. Perhaps it was something like that. We don't know. But what we do know is that they were prepared. They were prepared for this encounter with God. I don't know about you. That sounds pretty good to me. Let's go to verse number 17. So now the people have been prepared. They've been cleansed. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke. Listen carefully. Because the Lord descended upon. Everybody say upon. The Lord God came down on the mountain. He descended upon the mountain. It says the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon the Mount Sinai, on top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Now, when you read what happens is the people are at the bottom of the mountain. The Lord ascends down on Mount Sinai. There's lightning, there's fire, there's smoke. The glory of God has descended upon Mount Sinai. How many of you would have liked to have been there for that? Come on. While Moses is on the mountain, God gives him the Ten Commandments. He gives him the Ten Commandments written in the finger of God. The commandments are given to Moses. Moses goes down the mountain. But the people at this moment, something's busy happening. Exodus 20 verse 18, let's go there. Are you all okay? I'm not going too fast. All right, maybe I'm going too fast. Exodus 20 verse 18. And I actually have not got that much to say, so I can slow down. I'm just excited. Yeah. Now watch this. Moses is at the top of the mountain. The Lord's giving him the commandments. Chapter 20, 18 says, now all the people witnessed the thunderings and lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. In other words, fear came upon them. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear. But let not God speak with us lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. Wow. Right there. The biggest cause for sin is unbelief. Now, we all sin, so don't feel so bad. You're not alone, okay? But that's a fact. But when the fear of the Lord comes upon you, you recognize just how powerful God is, just how mighty God is. And so he's saying, don't be afraid. God's just showing you how awesome he really is. Don't be afraid. He's come to see what's in your heart. Are you with me, guys? Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you do not sin. So the people stood afar off. But Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. What you need to understand, first of all, is that God had set this encounter up for the children of Israel so that they could be a witness of the earth of who he was. Remember, God performed supernatural signs and wonders and miracles in Egypt. God provided supernaturally for them in the wilderness. He parted the Red Sea. Cheerio, Egyptians. It wasn't a good day for the Egyptians, but God showed his might and his power. Now God wants to reveal himself to the children of Israel at the top of the mountain. And while he's about to do this, the children of Israel say, no, listen, Moses, I don't think this is for us. I think you should take care of this. You talk to God. We'll kind of stay back here. We'll talk to you. You talk to God. Right. Let's move now. Let's go to the book of Acts. I want to show you some parallels. So we know that Pentecost to us as the New Testament church is the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh. But what you may not realize is there may be some more similarities to that specific event that I just read to you than what you realize on the day of Pentecost. Watch this now. As I said, it will be short tonight. It's a long week. Acts 2, verse number 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. I want you to understand that all of a sudden, these disciples who had been with Jesus for a period of time after the resurrection were now sitting in the upper room praying, and the Bible tells us when the day of Pentecost had fully come. In other words, there's a fulfillment that's about to take place. You see, when Pentecost had taken place on Mount Sinai, the law was given. Once the law was given, then God wanted to encounter the people. So God came down. Are you with me? And he came upon Mount Sinai. But you see, in the book of Acts, the Bible tells us that when they were in one accord, in one place, that the Spirit descended upon them. Are you with me? So it wasn't the mountain, it was now them. And just like these men, just like the Israelites had been prepared and washed and prepared for this encounter with God, so the disciples had also been prepared. Jesus had prepared them. He taught them. He spoke to them. He told them about the Holy Spirit that would come. And then the Holy Spirit would come upon them for what? So that they could be a witness of Jesus. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were a witness of God. In the New Testament, we are a witness of Christ. Are you with me? But take a look at something here, because this to me is kind of interesting. We see how there is fire, wind, a sound from heaven. And all of a sudden, those in the community come around and they begin to see what's taking place. And the Bible tells us that they even say, are these men drunk? Are they filled with new wine? In other words, they couldn't understand what was taking place. But I want you to recognize that the same thing that had taken place on Mount Sinai, yes, it was God, and now it was the Holy Spirit, but there was an outpouring taking place. And we know that 3,000 got saved, right? But we also know that there were those that were there that were mocking. There were those that did not want to participate in what was taking place. You see, what happens is, just like with Passover, as I've explained to you, Jesus is our Passover lamb. Just like the Red Sea, we are baptized. Just like the bread in the wilderness, we have the bread from heaven. Just like the water from the rock, we can drink from the water that is Christ with fountains of living water. Can you say amen? But here's the thing. Can you imagine being one of the children of Israel and God's on the mountain and he wants to speak with you? He wants to encounter you. He wants to take you from not just being in word a covenant child, but actually have relationship with you. So he prepares you. He sets everything up for you to have this encounter with him. And then the children of Israel turn around and they say, no, God, I don't think this is for me. Lightning, smoke. Let me say this. Let's take it to the New Testament. You know, God, this New Testament book of Acts stuff, it's not for me. Tongues of fire, people falling over, things shaking, it's not for me. You know, Stephen said something when they were stoning him. They said, you are just like your forefathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. God wants to encounter you. God wants to have a personal, intimate relationship with you. He wants you to come to the foot of the mountain. In fact, he wants you to ascend the mountain of the Lord. He doesn't want you to say, well, you know, we'll just get Pastor Alex to pray and he can come and give us a word. Or, you know, your mom can take care of that for you. She can be the prayer warrior in the house. You can just kind of like know about God. And I'm sure, you know, you and your house, you'll all be saved. When God is saying, listen, I don't want to speak through somebody else. I want to have an encounter with you. I want to encounter you. If you look at Old Testament scripture, every person that we know from scripture that seeks the Lord, that hungers and thirsts for the Lord, is used in the most incredible ways. God pours his spirit upon them. He uses them for the purpose of service. And it's the most beautiful expression. Then we see in the New Testament, once the Holy Spirit has come upon the New Testament church, everything breaks out. And these disciples that are mere men, normal men, all of a sudden they operate with power. All of a sudden they have a boldness that they never had before. They become a witness of Christ. So why is it that so many of us are so afraid to ascend the mountain? Why is it that so many of us are afraid to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit? I have seen so many times how people will mock what they don't understand, or they will become afraid because of what they've been taught. But God has always had a desire. In fact, he says that they will become royal priests. He talks about them as a holy nation, the children of Israel. This is his desire. He wants them to be a set apart people for himself, but they choose not to do it. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, when it speaks about an outpouring of the Spirit that will come, and it says that with stammering lips and an unknown tongue, I will speak to this people. And he goes on and he says that this will be their refreshing. This will be the refreshing that they will have. And then he says this, but they will not. He basically says they will reject it. because man has always rejected God. But I believe with all of my heart that there is a generation of people right now on the planet, not the next generation, this one. There is a generation of people right now that will not be satisfied with old wine and old wineskins. We want the new wine. We want a fresh encounter. And we want to encounter all that God has for us. We want to encounter His love. We want to encounter His power. We want a Pentecost experience. God has been pouring out His Spirit from the very first Pentecost, and He will continue to pour out His Spirit now. There's only one thing that is required. You have to desire it. You have to desire it. See, Moses wanted it so bad for the people, but they didn't want it. Yes, they liked the provision. Yes, they liked the signs of wonders. Sounds just like the church. We want God's provision. We want God's blessing. But listen, that supernatural stuff, I don't know about all that. You see, the Bible says that God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. In other words, there must be something on the inside of you that's beginning to change so that you can worship Him that way. So you will be faced with truth, and then you have a choice. Are you going to take truth, or are you going to reject truth? I can preach about Pentecost for 6 months, no problem, because this is something that I really love. And you know, it's amazing because the Bible tells us that He will continue to do this for all who are afar off, for generations, for each and every one of us. But this evening in this place, I feel like the Lord is saying, are you going to take all that He has? Or are you going to be like that one that says, well, you know, I'll go to church and I'll just check it out, you know? In other words, you're saying, I'm going to stay at the bottom of the mountain. I'm not going to ascend. When God wants you to be a witness of the power, the resurrection power and love of Christ. And the only way you can truly do that is if the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Oh, the disciples were already saved, guys. Trust me. They'd already received the Holy Spirit the day Jesus blew on them. For those of you that don't know that. Jesus appeared to His disciples in the upper room for the first time when they were all together. And the Bible says that He said to them, peace be unto you. And then the Bible says, and He blew on them and gave them the Holy Spirit. But He also said to His disciples that you must not go anywhere except wait in Jerusalem, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. In other words, the Holy Spirit must first come upon you. Why? Because you can never be a witness, even though you've walked with Me. You see, the children of Israel, they walked with God. They were in the wilderness. But until you have your own encounter with God, you can never truly be a witness. The Holy Spirit must come upon you. He must empower you, and He must transform you. Yes, when you give your life to Jesus, you are saved, but you haven't stepped into the fullness of what He has for you. That's why the disciples don't talk about the fullness or the gift of the Holy Spirit before Pentecost. They only do it after Pentecost, because that is the fullness of the gift of the Holy Spirit that is given to all of us, the promise of the Father who is coming upon you. This Pentecost, every one of us that desire to be filled with the Spirit, to be encountered by the Spirit, can do so. But it must be your desire. And I'm pleading with you this evening. Don't allow this week to go by without you saying, Lord, I will ascend the mountain. I've been prepared. I've been cleansed. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I'm a Christian. I'm serving You. But now, Lord, I want to have an encounter with You. So I surrender my life to You. When you make a decision to fully surrender, you will see things in your life that will need to change. welcome to the club. And then you will have to make a choice as to whether you will be obedient to that or not. The Bible says, I place before you blessing and cursing, life or death, you choose. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. In other words, when you hear God's word and you take God's word at his word, that's what he desires from you. And the truth is that will be so difficult for you until you are in relationship with him. That's why Jesus came and died on the cross, so that you and I could have that relationship with him, so that we could be empowered by his grace to overcome sin. You can never overcome sin on your own. You just can't. And let me tell you something, the day you think you've done it in your own strength and he lifts that grace off you, you will fall so hard. Oh, you will. I've seen it happen so many times to some of the most amazing people that I've respected. I've seen it. And the key is to go to him. That's his desire for you. His desire is to have relationship with you, to fill you, to encounter you, to empower you, so that you can never be the same again. That's my desire during this feast of Pentecost. I want a fresh touch from heaven. You know, the Bible says we should always be filled with the Holy Spirit. When there was persecution on the church, the Bible says that they went into a room, basically like an upper room again, and they began to pray, and the whole place was shaken, and they were filled again with the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, I was filled in 1922. Well, brother, it's time for a fresh touch. It's time. Well, you know, Pastor Alex, I prayed in tongues 12 years ago. It's time to pray in tongues again, brother. Tomorrow I'll teach you a little bit more about that. So this evening, let's all bow our heads for just a moment. Father, we just love you so much. And we are so grateful, Lord, that you have poured out your Spirit on all flesh. You gave that opportunity to the children of Israel in the wilderness, Lord. I'm so grateful that you gave it to us as well on the day of Pentecost, where you poured out your Spirit on all flesh. Now we too can receive that encounter with you. We too can have fellowship and intimacy. The veil has been torn. We can enter into the Holy of Holies. Father, I pray that not one person in this place will reject the fullness of who you are. You are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Every expression of who you are is perfect. And in order for us to truly understand every expression, we must encounter every part of who you are. And the Holy Spirit is the one who will teach us to be a witness of Christ, because he will reveal the truth to us. Jesus said he will show you things to come. He will be your comforter, your teacher. I thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit is with us right now. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here right now. And I ask you, Lord, that you would touch every life in this place. Father, I come against every force of darkness even now that's trying to convince people that this is not for them. For you, Lord, are for each and every one of us. The fullness of who you are. Father, I come against fear. I come against sin. I come against the power of the enemy that desires to break us down, to tell us that we're not good enough. Lord, Jesus paid the price for everything so that we could be made righteous. You see, we can never be righteous on our own, but he has made us righteous, so you qualify. Yes, you qualify. You qualify to encounter him. You qualify for his love and his power and his mercy. The only requirement is to believe and to surrender. That's why when we make a decision to serve Jesus, we make him Lord of our life. I don't think we understand what that means. When you make someone the Lord of your life, that means your life no longer belongs to you. Well, that doesn't sound like a lot of fun. You have no idea how much fun it is. When you start to find out why you were born, when you start to understand your purpose, Father, I praise you tonight in this place. We honor you. We worship you in this place. If you've come here tonight and you say, Pastor Alex, that's me you're speaking about tonight. I need to encounter the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit like on the day of Pentecost. If that's you, quickly lift your hand so I can see where you are. God bless you. Many hands going up. Many hands going up. If you feel like your walk with God has just kind of like been, you've been serving the Lord, you've been trying, but you've never really fully encountered the presence of God for yourself, the Spirit of God for yourself. If that's you, don't wait. Don't stay at the bottom of the mountain. Lift your hand real quick so I can see where you are and include you in this prayer. God bless you. So many hands going up.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.